Well, as I mentioned at the beginning of the programme, we were going to talk to the about the to the Woodland League. We had a press release in from them and talking about asset stripping, I suppose, and the problems there. So I'm delighted to welcome Andrew St. Ledger to the programme. Andrew, you're very welcome to us here again on Kilmarnock Community Radio.
Great, thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
No problem at all. And we actually have Christopher Eccles, who I think you may know as well here. He's just been talking to us about trees and all aspects of trees, and he may join in as well. So
yes,
just
yes,
in case...
Hello, Chris.
Oh, you'd really know me as Tiff. And I think I had a few pints with you outside Keynes last year.
Okay, we don't need to know all of
this. I'm putting the context.
It's just a Welshman.
He's Scottish. Welsh, excuse me, Scottish.
Scottish.
Okay.
The antique man.
No.
No, is it not? Oh, sorry.
No, I live in Mount Shannon up the hill. You'll remember me when you see me.
Okay.
All right, never mind. We might give him a chance to talk to you at all, Andrew, so don't... Don't worry about him for the minute.
I'm confusing him with another chap I know who's also a TIFF.
Okay.
But good to hear from you.
Okay. Well, listen, we're just, I suppose we got the press release in, a call for an independent inquiry into Cuilte public forest asset stripping.
Yeah.
And I know we've covered this before. There was a piece came up as well. But I suppose, what is the state of play now then? What's going on at the moment?
Well, the Impact Trade Union, the Cuilte Workers Union, commissioned Peter Bacon, the economist, to produce a report into the sale of Cuilte. And that was launched on Monday. There was a press conference, which also seemed to coincide with the prime time look at the issue on Tuesday, the day after, which was prompted by the Bacon report. And... the Bacon report was basically saying that the valuation of, I think, something around over 700 million for the forest resources, for, say, the Cuilte's public estate is 1.2 million acres. The valuable or the productive area is recognized as only being about 500,000 acres. And it's that's what the McCarthy report identified. So Bacon put a value on that of, I think, around 370 million if they were to sell the harvesting rights to the productive area. The government, through New Era, are talking about a value of over 700 million. So Bacon disputed that, said it's not worth that.
Mm-hmm.
And that for the government to go ahead and sell the harvesting rights, they would actually, in the long run, lose money on it, that it's not worth selling. That it should be developed for as a public resource and enhanced, I suppose, and that's caused a lot of public media attention back on the issue, and in some ways, it's the Woodland League see it. We support Impact joining, belatedly joining the campaign, or us joining in, being vocal against the sale of the forest. We wish they had come on board earlier.
Yeah.
But we still welcome them, and we did support the launch of their campaign. And what we would be worried about is that the sale of the harvesting rights, is a bit of a sideshow, because we've highlighted the fact that since Cuilte was set up, it's been selling the forest, privatizing forest anyway. It sold over 40,000 acres. For different developments, including wind farms, unsustainable wind farms, and the controversial Rossport shell site would have been sold by Cuilte. So, it's we've referred to it as creeping privatisation, and that this idea of selling the harvesting rights—it's like as if it's something new. It's not. It's nothing new. And as we pointed out in the press release, since 2009, 108 million worth of trees. We don't know what that equates to in area. There's no detail in the Cuilte financial reports to tell you that. But it was trees, non-productive assets, it's written down as, but it's trees. So that's a huge amount of trees handed over to private pension funds. And we identified in 2009 that Cuilte were 179 million in debt to pension funds. So these sales are basically to fill a black hole. Uh-huh. And Intel, if Quilcha hadn't sold those trees, they practically would be in financial difficulties and would have no cash flow. And we'd be wondering how a company that was gifted so much public land, over 1 million acres, and has been managing it for so many years, or mismanaging it, we would say, ended up in such difficulties, despite having turned over profits of over 400 million. What happened? And the public need to know before there's any decision on selling more of it. And we would feel, I suppose, simply that a new model, maybe a reformed Quilcha, needs to be developed with a new forestry model itself that involves local communities, and that we would enhance the productive area for sure and introduce more diversity of species, focusing on our native hardwood resource, and that the 500,000 acres identified almost as unviable by the McCarthy report, that would be the areas that need to go back, be restored back to bogland, for instance. Restoration would happen on those sites. It would be examined. And then there would have to be over 300,000 acres then could be utilized for conversion back to native, mixed native woodlands by local community cooperatives. And we see, opportunity there for a lot of employment in rural areas, and a long-term coppice management system put in place, with training, of course, to provide local people with the benefits of the assets that they have not been getting.
Yeah.
I suppose that was the bones of where we're coming from. We're calling for a halt to all ideas of selling any part of it, as I say, until we know exactly what has happened to date with the resource. So, sorry.
Yeah. I just kind of, I suppose people, would not be aware that the land is being sold off. I mean, I suppose the trees, people assume or see the trees going and whatever, and don't, maybe not think too much about it. But the land sales sounds most interesting and I suppose most worrying, really. I mean, if you still have the land and the trees are gone, you can still plant them again as they have been doing over the last few years. So I suppose it's to make sure that they don't get rid of the stock of the land bank.
Well, that was what the new government kind of, how they changed the goalposts with the issue. They said, oh, the public need not worry. The Woodland League was emailed by a TD from the present government telling us that we can call off our campaign, that the forests are safe. But we urged people to up the ante, that in actual fact they were still in danger, that 90-year leases for the trees is as good as sold in terms of the land. The public will not have access to that land. And, the fact they're saying that we're not selling the land was irrelevant.
Uh-huh.
It's the resource and access to that land. As I say, 90 years is a long time. It almost confers ownership rights to whoever make the private enterprises that come in. So that would be a concern that we would have about the land versus the trees. It doesn't matter. The land and trees should be secured for the people. Just going back to Bacon's report, as I say, he put a valuation on the productive area, the 500,000 acres, of about 370 million. And he said that's equivalent to three days payments or something of national debt is all they would get for it.
Yeah.
It's a drop in the ocean.
Plus, I suppose if you look at the employment situation, I mean, I know Quilcha have over the years employed quite a number of people. If it goes into private, some, if not all, of those jobs will go. There'll be another knock-on effect there as well for the whole community and for the country.
There will, because just sawmills, for instance, are worried that private enterprise, if it's Chinese interests, which it could well be. There was Chinese delegation here last year, and they've signed trade agreements that the public have not seen, we're not privy to. And basically, they would be interested in taking the trees back to China, and probably even bringing their own trucks here to drive the trucks to their own ships to take the public resource away. And that would have to be opposed. You know, okay. It wouldn't make any sense, and it would be a bit, you know, deep concern.
Yeah. Christopher, do you want to just ask anything there?
Yeah. Hi, Andrew.
Hello, yeah. Chris.
I mean, I'm glad you're on the show because you've got the facts. But one of the questions I'd say is it true that Bertie Ahern is still on the board of directors of Quilter?
Well, he never was.
Oh, he never was. Right.
He never was.
Okay, no. So that's not true.
No, he's chairman of the International Forest Fund, IFF.
Bertie Ahern?
Yeah, which is a Swiss, it's a partnership of an Irish pension fund company with a Swiss, major Swiss, Helvetia Wealth, and they expressed interest in buying Quilter Woodlands for, you know, as pension funds have been doing.
And
they may have actually, we don't know, may actually have already purchased trees from Quilter. The information is not in the public domain. The pension funds... The details of, you know, exact details are unclear as to who the beneficiaries are.
Yeah, and also the only thing I'd heard was that, you know, Quilter did a lot of planting in the 60s and 70s, especially, you know, Caha Hurley up there beyond Scariff. And that all that woodland sort of coming to technical maturity. And one of the Quilter men told me that it's costing them €8 per tree to extract the tree, and they're getting €9 on the market for that tree, so they're getting €1 per tree, so they're not making any profit. So the only way Quilter is balancing their books is by selling land to balance the black hole.
If I could just correct you there, it was the Forest Service planted, you know, Quilter was created in 1989, it inherited the estate. And the planting was done by the Forest Service that you're referring to.
Okay.
And yes, a lot of that is coming to maturity, and you're right. You know, a lot of it was planted in the wrong place and difficult to access, and it is costing, you know, the profit on it is very low.
Mm-hmm.
And for sure, the in those type of plantations, the value is very low. So they would not, they would have been dependent on land sales for sure to bump up their books.
Okay. Just, I know we're just coming to the end, so I just want to mention about the petition, because you have Save Ireland's Forest, the petition dedicated to, you're involved, of course, dedicated to restoring the relationship between people and their native woodlands. Tell us a bit about this petition and where it can be got.
Well, if I could also just say the Woodland League stands for three R's. One is the regeneration of the forest's native woodlands, the great forests of Ireland, the restoration of the forest culture, and the reform of forest policy in Ireland. Mm-hmm. And that we have a petition going since 2009 when we flagged, you know, that this was a danger. Well, since the Woodland League was set up, we've always seen the possible privatisation, because it came up in the 1980s. It's come up a few times where private interests have had their eye on the public assets, you know, and it comes in cycles.
Uh-huh.
It was the latest attempt. And our petition is on the woodlandleague.org website. It's it's gone up to 33,000 at the moment online, and there's 4,000 hard copy. So we would encourage people now over the next few weeks, we're trying to up the ante and encourage people to get out and sign this petition and use it as a mandate to put pressure to prevent the sale of any more of our forests, and to examine, as I say, forest policy in regard to possible community, a more beneficial community-based policy.
Okay. Unfortunately, we're running out of time, so I just want to get, I suppose, if people want general information on the Woodland League or even want to become members, I don't know exactly how people do that.
Well, we're a voluntary group. We don't have a membership, but you can certainly, you know, we have a Facebook page. You could join us there and support us, and the website and Facebook would be the two main aspects. And I do remember Tiff now outside Keynes and Mount Shannon.
I think we were talking about trees back then.
Oh, we were indeed.
I don't remember the exact nature.
But we were singing from the same hymn book.
Good. We were indeed. Good.
And are you still in Mount Shannon? No?
Well, I am, but I'm in Linnan just for the next couple of months.
Okay, well, I'll hopefully meet you again.
I'm a sort of frontline guerrilla planting oaks secretly.
Great. Well, we need more of that.
We certainly do.
We need more of that.
Okay, well, listen, Andrew, listen, I'm sorry we have to cut it off there. We're just coming to the end of this part of the programme. But thank you very much for being with us. And as I say, if people want to get involved, they can check out woodlandleague.org and that will give them all the information there. Listen, thanks a million for being with us and continued success there with your all of the different work that you're involved in.
Thank you very much and appreciate the opportunity. And hopefully we'll talk again.
Okay, thanks, Andrew. Bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye.